we're about here is particular to those that are the Lord's. In 1 Corinthians 10, we're warned against idolatry. I have to tell you that there are many today that take this, what we're celebrating, and make an idol out of it. They think that there's some grace even in the bread or in the cup. Without minimizing the importance of the bread and the cup, yet there's no life in the bread, and there's no life in the cup. It's who it represents. And that's why when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, because there was a leaven that had found its way into how they were worshiping. And he says to them in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 10, the cup of blessing which we bless. So we're about to bless this cup in the sense of give thanks to God for it. Think about it. He says, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? People ask me, well, can I partake? Well, what does the blood of Christ mean to you? That's the question. It's not just a matter of coming and partaking and thinking, well, today's communion Sunday. So that's the way the world looks at it. They think there's something special in that communion Sunday. No. This has to do with the communion of the blood of Christ. Why was it necessary that that blood be shed? For the satisfaction of a holy God. Whose blood is it? It's called the blood of Christ. That's what this is about. And the cup is a picture of that. And then he says, the bread which we break. This was taken from a whole piece of bread and broken. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Can't help but look at this bread unleavened. It's a picture of the body of Christ without sin, but roast with fire. In other words, he endured in his body on that tree the curse of God's wrath on behalf of sinners for whom he died. Can we take that lightly? It took someone doing and dying, not our doing and dying, but someone as a substitute doing and dying that we might live. Is that your testimony? And he goes on and says, for we being many are one bread. This represents the spiritual body of Christ. And one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So what we're saying is by partaking together that we are of that one body. We're not looking down our nose at one or the other and thinking, well, why is that one partaking? Why should they? Our eyes on Christ. And in him, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, but all one because of the work of Christ. And he says, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? He's going back to the old priesthood. That those that partook of the sacrifices ate of those sacrifices. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show forth his death till he come. We're partaking of the sacrifice in type, in picture. So the precedent was established in the Old Testament, and that's why we do what we do. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? He's talking about others that have similar types of celebrations, but it's not the celebration of Christ and his death. He says, I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, and here it could be any that are outside of Christ going through some religious ritual, they sacrifice to devils. That's shocking. But if you think there's any merit in partaking, that somehow putting this bread tear lips and somehow drinking the cup, that it adds merits, then you've made it nothing but an idol, and it's sacrificing to devils and not to God. He said, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. I've been places preaching at times where they have celebrated Communion Sunday while I've been there preaching, that I've not partaken in. He said, why wouldn't you partake? Well, it's because I was invited to preach the gospel, but what they hold and believe is not the gospel. They're going through the motion of the ritual. It shocks people sometimes. But I would not that he should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy, or are we stronger than he? Perish the thought of thinking, oh, it really doesn't matter. No, it does. What we're about here has to do specifically with the person and work of Christ in which we rejoice. But I will tell you, there are many that the Christ they worship isn't the Christ of Scripture. The work of Christ that they profess is a conditional work. Christ did, he laid the down payment, or he did all he could do, now it's up to you. That's not the work of Christ. As we saw already in the message, now this forgiveness and reconciliation was accomplished on behalf of sinners such as we are. And that's why we partake, to remember him who came, lived, died, and rose again. And that I rejoice. I'm thankful. That's what this bread represents, and that's what this cup represents. The body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is all our salvation. Let's thank the Lord, and then we'll partake. Gracious Father, I thank you for having given us this ordinance, whereby, as your people, we can remember Christ's death till he come. Thankful that he is coming again. But you've left us no other picture, no other symbol than this. The simple bread represents his body without sin, and a simple cup, wine representing his blood shed. That is all of your satisfaction, and may it be all of ours. So I thank you, dear Father, as we partake, we bless your name, and we bless the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.